Welcome to Embracing Your Season, Raising Littles and Understanding Teens. Here's your host, Paige Klingenpiel.
Friends, welcome to another episode of Embracing Your Season. I'm your host, Paige Klingenpiel. Thank you so much for joining me today. We have another amazing guest joining me on the show today. But before we introduce her, I want to tell you a little bit about Homeward, the ministry that sponsors this podcast. Homeward is a not-for-profit ministry reaching the world to help families succeed. We would love to invite you to become a partner. This is an exciting way to give back to support families across the world. Your prayers and financial support goes directly to make a difference in this. Your gift of any amount will help Homeward continue to provide free podcasts, blogs, YouTube channels, and many other resources to help marriages and families succeed. We believe that you can reach out to parents and marriages to bring hope and healing that will change the trajectory of families for eternity. Your prayers and financial support is so important to everything that we do. So if you feel led, go to homeward.com and click the donate button. Okay, back to the show. My guest today is Donna Jones. You will know her from her podcast, That's Just What I Needed. And the book we're going to be discussing today is Healthy Conflict, Peaceful Life, a biblical guide for graceful communication and lasting resolution. Friends, we talk about conflict today. We all struggle with conflict. It is a part of our daily lives because we're humans and we're fallible and we make mistakes. But Donna walks us through some pretty amazing pieces of wisdom that I know will benefit you. So stay tuned to after the show where I share some of my takeaways from my conversation with Donna that I know will also equip you in your relationships. So join me now as we have a conversation with Donna Jones on this episode of Embracing Your Season. Well, Donna, thanks so much for joining me today. I know we're going to have an amazing conversation about all things conflict. Not usually something people really want to talk about, but you are a knowledge base that we want to get more information about. So again, thanks so much for joining me.
Oh, I am so happy to be here, Paige. Thanks for having me.
So let's just dig right in. Conflict is one of those things where people think there's this negative connotation to it, but actually conflict can be a healthy thing. In fact, you even speak to this of how it can be a platform for personal development. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, well, first of all, you're exactly right. When most people think of conflict, it's about the last thing they want to talk about, but it's such an important topic because we all have it. So the reality is we all have it, we all hate it, which means we all need to know how to handle it in a healthy way. Because when we don't, as everybody knows, you, me, everybody listening, that when we are in the midst of a conflict that is going south, we're consumed by it. We literally are consumed by it. I mean, you know, we think about it in the shower, when we're driving down the road, you know, what he said, what we said, what we wish we'd said, you know,
we replay it in our minds, right? Does anyone else do that? You just think, oh, if only I had said this, you know?
Totally. And we always think of the best things after the fact, right?
Later,
that day later.
That's right.
So, but it steals our joy and our peace and our witness to the world and our, you know, happiness in our home. So, but if we handle it in a healthy way, two people who are in conflict can actually become closer after the conflict rather than become closed off. And I like to say the reason so many of us think conflict is bad is because, frankly, we never learned how conflict could turn out good. But once we learn that it can turn out good, then we have the tools to handle it and we're not so afraid of it anymore. And let's just face it, Paige, we shouldn't be afraid of it because it's part of life and it's never going to go away. So we might as well learn how to handle it in a healthy and holy way.
So before I go back to this statement that you just made about it making us closer, like you had pointed out how we have not learned mm-hmm. how to have healthy conflict. I know for me in my household, we had a variation of conflict styles. So now as a practitioner, I'm like, oh, I remember the time that it was passive aggressive. I remember the time that I was really aggressive and just passive, right? We had a spectrum and we translate that into mm-hmm. our own families, don't we? It just overflows if we're not more intentional about that. And so it's important to know family of origin, right? What your conflict style is. But tell me more, a little bit more about how it actually makes us closer when we do it correctly.
Well, you're exactly right. We all do have a primary conflict style, and a lot about the way we learn conflict happens in our family of origin. So we either saw people walk away rather than work things through, or they yelled and screamed and we end up repeating that, or we end up thinking, okay, I don't want to do that, but mm-hmm. we don't know what to do instead. You know, so we really do need to know, okay, how did my family of origin deal with it? So in answer to your question about how conflict can make two people become closer, let me give you this illustration. So suppose that you and I have had this conflict. Let's just say that you said something that hurt my feelings. I didn't say anything about it, but I just stew over it and think about it and wonder, what did she mean by that? And why did she say that? And because I didn't ever really deal with it, it became like a brick between you and me. Well, one brick is not that big of a deal, but let's just suppose that a week later, you say something else that I think, huh, now, why did she say that? And that hurts my feelings again, but I just kind of avoid it, you know, shove it under the rug, excuse it, you know, or whatever. That becomes a second brick. And now it gets laid upon the first brick. And so with every unresolved conflict, whether it's between a husband and wife, parent and child, a friend to friend, it's one brick laid upon another brick. And what happens is that those unresolved conflicts, they serve to be a wall. Eventually, it's a wall between me and you. And so I can't even see you. I just see the wall of problems between you and me when I think about you. And that's why people in homes all across America think, well, this relationship is hopeless. This friendship, I just need to ghost this person. You know, this parent-child relationship, I just don't see any hope for it, or my marriage, I don't know how it's going to get better. Well, it didn't happen, you know, usually in one big explosive moment. It usually happens one small brick at a time, one unresolved conflict at a time. And so what is really important to know that, you know, somebody might be listening right now and they're thinking, okay, well, that's me. I have a wall between me and someone else. And what do I do? That feels so hopeless. Well, the great news is that wall comes down the same way it was built. One conflict at a time. Only instead of not addressing it or not resolving it or not working it through, you start learning to talk about it, work it through. And with every time that you resolve some sort of conflict, it's like you're taking one of those bricks and you're just removing them brick by brick until finally, you know, we can see each other and then we can work through things. And then when there's no bricks between us, that's when we're closer and we're not closed off. So that's why it's just so important to know how to handle hurt feelings or misunderstandings or attacks or all kinds of, you know, just disagreements that we have, because otherwise it's just a crazy maker and it causes a whole lot of pain in relationships.
You know what you made me think of too, is like with people that we potentially have conflict with, that there is a risk in pointing out our hurt, our vulnerabilities with them. So any suggestions on how we can bring up a conflict in a positive way without that fear of rejection kind of dominating that conversation?
Yes. And as a matter of fact, on my website, donnajones.org, I have a free download called How to Have a Hard Conversation, or How to Start a Hard Conversation in a Healthy and Holy Way. And I have that because I realize that's one of the biggest questions that we all have, is how do I even start? What would I even say? How do I have a conversation where I feel heard, but the other person doesn't feel defensive. Mm-hmm. That's the question of the decade, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So let me tell you, Paige, I'm going to give you a real life story of how this worked itself out. So I had a friend and I had moved away, but we wanted to stay in contact. And we reached out and scheduled a lunch to, you know, to meet each other, but it was about a 40-minute drive from both of our houses. So I'm about 35 minutes into this drive. I get a text and she says, "Oops, probably should have texted you earlier, but I'm meeting my husband today for lunch instead."
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Okay, nice. Thanks for that.
Paige, you read my mind. That's exactly what I thought. And I, you know, I looked at that and I thought, you're kidding me. But then I thought, okay, just let it go. It was probably a careless mistake. But then I thought, well, this was so disrespectful. Why did she wait to the last minute? Okay, just, she's been a friend forever. You know, I had emotional whiplash from, you know, thinking all the different feels that I felt. So I went home and I started thinking about it. And I realized this wasn't the first time that she had done something like this, not this exact thing, but sort of like this. And I thought, okay, if it had been a one-time deal, I would have just chalked it up to a careless mistake. So you'd see.
Right. You can rationalize that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that's important. In fact, in the book, I talk about, should I be mad? There's a chapter called Should I Be Mad? Because there are big things. There are small things. There are things in between. And we don't have to get angry over everything. We don't have to address everything. Mm-hmm. But it's important to know which of those things need to be addressed and which of those things is it okay to let go. So there's a whole chapter in the book about that. But in this case, because it was something that had happened before, I realized that if I did not say something, one of two things would happen. Either I would develop bitterness and resentment, which I was not healthy, or I would distance myself from this longtime friend. And that was not healthy either. And she wouldn't even know why. She would have no reason. She would know.
Right.
And I thought, okay, neither of those is positive. So I need to have a conversation with her. But again, the question, how do I even begin so that I feel heard, but she doesn't feel defensive? So I scheduled this time to do a FaceTime with her. And I had planned to lead by telling her how it made me feel. But when I saw her face on the screen, it was like the Holy Spirit just whispered, "Donna, stop." And instead, I led with listening. So what I ended up saying, I saw her face on the screen and I said, "Hey, you know, it's so good to see you. I've missed your face. I miss you. I miss our conversations." You know, and she reciprocated. And then I said, "Tell me what happened yesterday." And then,
ooh, that's a good question.
Yeah, the Lord was so gracious, because then she went on to explain an entire backstory about what had happened, a scenario that was going on with her husband that I had no idea about. And then she said, "I'd plan to kind of fill you in, you know, when we met." And so I listened, which gave me a piece of the information that I didn't have before, which then helped me formulate what to say next. So you see, so I started off with affirming her and our relationship. Then I asked a question and I listened and it gave me information. And then I was able to say, "Oh my goodness, now this makes so much more sense. Do you mind if I tell you how it made me feel?" And of course,
And that's great.
Then she said, "Yeah, of course." And I said, "Well, it made me feel dismissed and a little disrespected." And I said, I would have preferred that you texted me earlier, but if you couldn't have done that, I would have loved it if you would have texted me afterwards just to explain." I said, "Can you understand why that would make me feel that way?" And she said, "Oh my goodness, absolutely." And then she said this, I thought this was so interesting. She said, "You know what, Donna? Actually, I was really embarrassed that I texted you so last minute that I just thought it would be easier not to say anything."
Wow. Okay.
So, you know, and I thought, well, that's so real life, because that's how we are sometimes when we're embarrassed about a way we handle something. We avoid, we don't address. Mm-hmm. And Paige, we ended up we ended up talking and having the sweetest conversation. And I remember thinking when I got off that call, there is not enough money in the world to buy the piece that I have right now because of the conversation that we just had. And we ended up closer rather than if I hadn't addressed it, being closed off from each other. Mm. So that's
the beauty of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Like how communication can lead to further intimacy and how the fear can prevent the potential intimacy you can have just by being vulnerable and opening up. And you asking the question, I love the questions that you ask. We need to highlight those questions. It's the fact is like, what happened? And can I tell you how it made me feel? Like those are such core valuable questions that move our relationships towards intimacy. I love that. Such a great example. Thank you for sharing those.
Oh, well, it was, I mean, really. And I think those steps, so you affirm the relationship, you ask the question, and then you address the issue. And when you do it in a spirit of humility, and because you've let the other person talk first, you know, in all likelihood, their defenses are down. And let me just say this one thing, that when we're having a hard conversation, whether this is with our child or our spouse or our friend or coworker or whomever, the four worst words that you can say are, "We need to talk."
That triggers me. Absolutely. I feel like I'm being called to the principal's office. Anytime anyone says that to me, it regresses me.
Yeah. Yeah. And then our defenses go up. And the last thing that you want to have is a person that already has their defenses up when you're trying to have open communication. So I would just say scratch those four words because they're just not helpful.
So you talked about like the relationship we can have with our kids. Like we are modeling conflict resolution with our kiddos. So what are some like really good things that we can continue to model for our kids? I mean, you already listed questions, but what else can we show them so that they move on into a healthy conflict resolution as well?
Yes. Well, one of the chapters in the book is called The Single Most Important Quality, you know, for a relate or for conflict, or the one quality where no conflict can be resolved well. And it's not an action, it's an attitude. And this is an attitude we can model with our kids, and it's huge. The attitude is humility.
Okay.
And the reason I say that, and this is an interesting one because I think sometimes in parenting, we maybe dismiss the need for humility as a parent because we think, well, because we tether being humble with being humiliated, and they are not the same.
Yes, ma'am.
So being humble is thinking about what I say, what I do, how I respond. It takes the other person into account. So when I'm humble, that makes me a doorway for communication. When I'm being humiliated, that makes me a doormat for exploitation. And so it's really different. So humble people still speak their minds. They still say their opinions. They still correct their kids. They still get angry. But the way they do it takes the other person into account. Mm-hmm. So let me give you an example. When my daughter, we have three kids. When my daughter Ashton was in high school, we got into this horrible conflict on the way to church, which is crazy because my husband's the pastor.
There's that, obviously.
But as a parent, sometimes, especially parents of teenagers, our kids can do things that rightly upset us, anger us. But the way I handled it was not right. And so her behavior wasn't right, but the way I handled it wasn't right. Now I had a choice. Mm. I could have excused that and said, well, I only reacted because of her behavior. However, when I got to church, I remember, you know, she went into the youth group and I sat in the main service, and Paige, I could not wait until that service was over because I knew I owed my daughter an apology.
Mm-hmm. It's powerful.
I found her and I said, Ashton, I did not handle that the right way. And I want you to forgive me for responding the way I did. I said some things that were hurtful, and I didn't respond the right way. So as a parent, when we apologize, we are modeling humility and we're teaching our children how to apologize, the importance of apologizing. And Paige, we're teaching them something really deep.
Mm-hmm.
Grace.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
We're teaching them grace because we talk so much about grace as believers, but the way we model grace, the way we live grace in our home is that we allow for imperfection. We understand that there will be conflict and that when we handle it incorrectly, we seek to be forgiven and we extend forgiveness. That's grace.
Oh gosh. Love that.
And so, you know, so, and I, my sweet daughter now, she just got married 2 months ago and I look at her and she is a person who readily apologizes. She's a person who is humble. Yeah. So I don't think you can go wrong in being humble when you really understand that humility comes from a place of strength. It's strength restrained. But it is the way we model grace.
You know, it's one of the sweetest things that I have implemented in my parenting that was not necessarily there when I was growing up, is that practice of asking forgiveness. I think what was so frustrating, and I know kids get this too, is that they know parents make mistakes, but there's this dissonance, right? There's this confusion. My parents aren't admitting mistake. In fact, they're making me the crazy one, that I'm upset about their violation of my respect or honoring me, you know, and making mistakes. So when I started implementing that in my own parenting, at first, it was not intuitive. Let's be honest. As an adult, you're like, you don't want to admit your mistake. But when I started seeing, it would soften my kid's heart, as you were describing here. And it's actually that modeling where now they know what they need to do. They know they need to seek forgiveness. And then that practice of forgiveness, we know it's powerful. But the fact that that humility can come from the top, that can come from parents first. Like, that's powerful, friends. That's beautiful. So I love that we talked about that and the power of forgiveness. Tell us a little bit more about that and how that heals conflict or even lowers the wall that you were referring to earlier.
Yeah. Well, and gosh, forgiveness, you know what Billy Graham's wife said, that a good marriage is the union of two really good forgivers. And I would say a healthy friendship. Is a bunch of people who are really good forgivers. But here's what is important to know, that if we have been the person that has hurt the other person and we are apologizing, the other person feels hurt. They want to know that we know we hurt them.
That's good.
That's what makes an apology powerful. That's why an apology that's like, well, I'm sorry, or can't you just get over it? I said I was sorry. That doesn't work because it's so surface. That being said, though, some of us, we have the opposite extreme. We apologize for everything, or maybe we have a hard time accepting apologies. We have a hard time letting things go. And we just keep bringing up the past. And when we keep bringing up the past, then the relationship stays stuck in the past and it can never move forward into the future. If you want a healthier relationship, you got to move toward health. You can't stay stuck in the past. So one of the things, when I wrote a chapter about forgiveness in the book. And again, you know, forgiveness is, it's a command. Obviously, we're told in the Lord's prayer, it's Father, help us forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. So we know it's a command, but it's also a choice and a process. And one of the things when I was writing this particular chapter, the Lord just downloaded this image into my mind. And it was, what do you do if the wounds are really deep and you're having a really hard time forgiving? And I would say there's a couple things. Number one, just pray for the want to. Start there. One of the times in my life where I was deeply wounded by someone, I ask a worship pastor's wife, you know, what should I do about this? I know I'm commanded to forgive and I want to because God has told me that I should, but I don't know how. I don't know if I can. I don't know. I don't even know where to begin. I'm so
wounded. That's real. That's right. Yeah.
And Paige, she placed her hands on my shoulders and directed me to look straight at her in the eye. And she said, "Donna, the fact that you want to forgive pleases the Lord." And just that, knowing that because you feel so messy when you are having a hard time forgiving, right? That she had told me, the fact that you want to is pleasing to the Lord. He'll show you how. That was my first step in the process of truly letting go and forgiving.
That just shows our different roles. There's an active role and there's a passive role. The active role is us making that choice. It's not always based in feeling. It is making a dedication, a deliberate choice. I'm going to move into this. And then the passive role is where the power happens, the supernatural. God will take care of the rest, right? Transform our hearts, heal our relationships, give us the words and the wisdom. That's so good. What a great recommendation of our roles in this case.
I love that. I love that your insight on that, the passive role and the different roles. That's so good. But as I was mentioning, as I was writing this chapter, I envisioned like the offense. If you hold out your palm and you envision the offense that wounded you so deeply in the middle of your palm, and your hand, your fingers clenched against that wound, because to forgive means to let go. So we let go of our propensity to take over or retaliate, and we let God take control, right? That's forgiveness. It's letting go. So if you picture the offense in your hand and all the reasons you haven't let go, so you name them one by one as you open your fingers, like it was wrong. They haven't made it right. Mm-hmm. I tried to sin and they didn't. I want them to pay for what they did.
Yeah.
They skipped off to a new life and they left me with all the baggage, you know, all the reasons that we don't let go. Mm. Name them. And as you do, unfurl your fingers until that offense is laid bare in your hand, and then turn your hand over and let that wound drop into the nail scarred hands of Jesus. That's forgiveness. Because when we forgive, it doesn't mean that we give our perpetrator a free pass to hurt us again. Doesn't mean that. Doesn't mean reconciliation necessarily. It doesn't even mean that what they did to us was no big deal. In fact, when people wound us or when we wound other people, it's such a big deal. It cost Jesus's life. So that's why when you let it go and you let it drop into the nail-scarred hands of Jesus, you're getting free, but you're also acknowledging this is real and it hurt.
Yes.
And it costs something. We have to be real about this. Conflict hurts, wounds hurt, pain hurts. So that's the process of getting free and forgiveness.
That's so solid. Wow. So good. I like the verbally speaking out the offenses, right? How often we hide that out of shame or fear or whatever it is that we're holding in that isolation place, but to speak it out and then to release it to Him who can do healing among it is just so powerful. Well, Donna, I have so appreciated this conversation. This has given us practical wisdom, ways to equip us in our conversations, our relationships every single day with everyone that we have in our circle of influence. I would love for the listeners to find you, to contact you, to get this book that you're referring to that we've learned so much from. So how can they find that information?
Yeah, well, you can get the book everywhere books are sold. It's on Audible, and I read the Audible. So if that's your thing, it's available. You can also connect with me on my website, which is donnajones.org. And as I mentioned, I have lots of free resources over there. And I would love to connect on social media. On Instagram, I'm at Donna A. Jones.
Awesome. Well, thank you again so much for this conversation. Again, I know it's going to be so beneficial for my listeners because conflict happens every day, friends. We know it does, but we want to make sure that we are God honoring and we want to make sure that we are healthy and that our relationships just blossom and turn into health. So again, thanks so much, Donna, for joining me today.
Thank you, Paige.
Okay, friends, I know that you agree with me when I say Donna was awesome. Right? The content, the way that she shared her own stories that we can relate to. Like, conflict is real and conflict is hard. I personally, not that I love conflict, but I don't necessarily shy away from it. I probably have conflict more than I think. Let's be honest. I don't know how people view me or how they experience me during certain points. I do know I put my foot in my mouth a lot because things just come out. My filter is not up to par. We should probably work on that. I should probably talk to Jesus about that. Regardless, what I do know that I have worked very hard on is asking people to forgive me when I make mistakes. I know that I need a lot of grace. And I know people, when they interact with me, when I hurt their feelings, I want to know that I hurt their feelings so then I can express a request for their forgiveness. Because relationships are super important to me. I live in an amazing community of believers and non-believers, but I want to make sure that I am with unity with the people that I live life with. So there are many times, I mean, I can go through, that would probably just be an entire podcast episode, let's be honest, of the number of times where I have made a mistake and I have sought forgiveness from someone. But I have learned this because that was not my family of origin. The way that I grew up is that we stuffed things or we reacted in anger. It was just one or the other. And so when I started having relationships where I started navigating those conflict areas with either passivity or just straight anger, obviously that created tension. It created unhealth and it ended up ruining some of my friendships that I still wish that I would have. So as I have grown through therapy, through reading books, but most importantly, through asking Jesus just to refine my mouth and my filter, I have learned to practice this. And the best part, friends, is that I get to implement this with my kids. So now I am breaking that generation of handling conflict incorrectly. I am able to teach my kids, not always correctly, let's be honest, not always in the best way, but I get to teach my kids, this is how we have healthy relationships. This is how we express our hurt. We don't just come at it as we are the victim and we are demanding an apology. No, we get to share in a positive, healthy ways. This is my feelings and I want this relationship. And so I am bringing this to you so that we can have resolution in a healthy way. That's what we get to model for our kids. I just think that's such a blessing and it's something that we need to be implementing. And if you don't know how, if you're continuing to rely on your origin, your family of origin to show you how to resolve conflict, friends, Donna Jones, there's tons of resources out there just like hers that can share with you how to do this in a practical, easy way. So some of the takeaways that I have today, I mean, first off, just practicing humility, asking for forgiveness. Another one I love too is that the different ways that she asks questions when there is a conflict. So she had this analogy of building up a wall with each brick of a violation, of a hurt. Someone has trespassed against you, right? So each of those circumstances builds a brick. We only address one brick at a time, but when you do so, the questions that she asked were, ask the question, what's going on? What happened in this case? Making sure you're saying it with the right inflection, because if you come out, what were you thinking? Obviously, that's a no-go, guys. We don't do that. But if you ask the question, like, hey, I just want to know kind of what happened yesterday, that opens up to a context that you may not have been privy to before. It helps you understand maybe behind the scenes or filling in the blanks of what contributed to the tension that ended up happening. I also love the way that she talked about sharing or asking, would you be open to hearing how that made me feel? When we do that, people can't argue with our feelings. Now, I guess people can, let's be honest. There's unhealthy people in the world. But when we say this made me feel this way, most people that love us will take that on in such a way that is very healthy and honoring and say, I'm so sorry. I did not mean to hurt you in that way. And then through the process of just exploring how both individuals felt, now we've potentially taken away a brick that could have led to a discontinuation of the relationship. Like, how beautiful is that? Friends, those are my takeaways for today. I know that they probably benefited you as much as they benefited me. I know I got to check off, I'm doing this one right. But then I'm also reminded that I still need to continue to practice healthy conflict resolution because it doesn't come intuitively to me. I don't think it comes intuitively to all of us, but when we put in the hard work, when we practice these things, and when we truly have intentionality in our relationships, we start seeing the health. The harvest is there, friends. We just have to put in the work to restore and create health in our relationship. So I want to thank you so much for listening to the show today. I know you've enjoyed it as much as I have. I would love to hear from you. What are your thoughts? Who would you like to see on the show? What are some topics that maybe you're interested in learning more about? So please email me at Paige clingandpeel@gmail.com. Of course, continue to stay tuned as we have amazing episodes with guests who give wisdom and encouragement that will equip you and your families so that you can be healthy and happy and have hope. So join us next time on another episode of Embracing Your Season.
Thanks for joining us for this edition of Embracing Your Season with Paige Klingenpeel. Check out her latest resources and episodes on her website at paigeklingenpeel.com. That's Paige, P-A-I-G-E, Klingenpeel, C-L-I-N-G-E-N-P-E-E-L.com. Also, be sure to follow Paige on all her social media pages, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thanks again for joining us. Be sure to tune in next week for another edition of Embracing Your Season, Raising Littles and Understanding Teens. This program is sponsored by Homeward. Find out more at homeward.com.
Homeward is the largest provider of parenting seminars in the country, helping families with issues like creating a media-safe home, doing life with your adult children, building healthy morals and values, energizing your family's spiritual life, and so much more. Your church or organization can sponsor a seminar that fits your needs. Go to homeward.com to find out more. Be sure to check out more family ministry topics on their website at homeward.com. That's Homeward, H-O-M-E-W-O-R-D.com.